Doug talked about the evidences, the reality of God, and how all the biblical evidences point to that fact that God is real, that He has a plan for man, and that plan is found in the Scriptures. And thus, we are looking at God's plan for us. Today, we're going to be looking at the third lesson, which is God's studying God's Word. Last week, Chuck talked about the inspired Word, that the Bible is inspired of God, that the authors, the writers of the Old and New Testament were inspired. They were told by God those things that they were to write. If you will remember in your study of Leviticus, that over and over again, God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people, and those things were recorded. And we have God's inspired Word. The Scriptures truly are inspired of God. I guess it would help if I used this, wouldn't it? This we believe. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." It's difficult for us to read this Scripture and not grasp its meaning, because very clearly it says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and that it is for our benefit. And if we read and study the Scripture as we ought, then we will be prepared on that day of judgment that we might meet God and live with Him eternally. And we look at this Scripture and we see that these things are profitable for doctrine. They're profitable for reproof. They're profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we just need to wrap our arms around the fact that God wants us to be saved, and He has given us the plan for salvation. But it's up to us to study it. We can't just lay the book on our tables, on our bookcases, beside our chairs, and expect to learn anything from it. We've got to open it up, and we have to study it. You know, did any of you guys, when you're reading, particularly when you were in school, and you were reading, and all of a sudden you realized that you don't have a clue what you read? The reason for that, of course, is that we're just not focused. And we've got to be focused. There's a difference between reading something and studying. And that's something that I want to point out in this week's lesson and also in next week's lesson. You're going to get me two times in a row because I couldn't get it all in one lesson. So we look at Scripture such as this and we see that God has given us the way. And we have to search the Scriptures and see exactly what He wants us to do. And Peter also addresses this same thing. And it says, "And we heard the voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back and look at this. Who is the we that Peter refers to here in this verse? You were told this last week now. Gives a hint. Oh, there we go. Peter, James, and John. And they were at the Mount of Transfiguration. And we go on here and read this. And we heard the voice. This voice. What voice? Voice of God. God has spoke to them. By the way, what did he say? What?
This is my beloved son. Hear him.
Okay. And this is important that we remember the fact that when God spoke to Peter, James, and John there on the mount, when Peter spoke up and said, let's build three tabernacles for Moses, Elias, and the Christ, God said, no. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. We heard the voice that which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, and so we have prophetic word confirmed. How do you confirm something? How do you know something to be true? Who won ball game yesterday, Chuck? Yeah, but there was one that just stomped the other team, your favorite team, y'all, won 10-9. Yeah, but that's one of those minor teams that don't matter. Florida won. That's all that matters. What? How do you know that? You watched it. You, when you confirm something, you see it, or you have such evidence of it that you know that it's a fact. We didn't see the things that Peter, James, and John saw, but by their mouths, they confirmed that word to us. So this the fact that God spoke about Jesus, that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to hear him, is important and is confirmed, and we should take it to heart that it is truth, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, and the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It's going to be a dead judgment one day. We're going to stand before our God in judgment, and we will know all things then. The question is, have we studied enough? And have we applied those things that God has written for us to our lives so that we might hear those blessed words, enter into the joys of the Lord? Verse 20 then, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Do we get in trouble sometime by trying to make God's word say something that it doesn't? Do we pick a word out of the Scripture or a verse out of the Scriptures and say this is the way it is and never look at what is before or what is after that word? It's important that we study, not try to find something to prove what we want the Bible to say. But we have to look and see what the Bible truly is saying. And it takes more than just a simply reading of the word. We've got to study. Verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Chuck did a good job with this last week also, and pointing out the fact that the Spirit of God is behind everything that is written in our Bible, and we need to take that to the bank, and we need to apply it to our lives. Knowing that God is real, we'll have to get away from one or the other. Knowing that God is real, that He is the creator of all things, that His law has been given to us in these last days by His beloved Son, how are we to approach it in study? What are some of the things that comes to your mind as we look at the Scriptures and are studying the Scriptures? What are some of the characteristics that should we should have in that study? What jumps out at you? Just give me a word. How about prayerfully? How about reverently? You know, you remember when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush? What did God tell Moses there? This is holy ground. When we approach the Bible in an in-depth study, we have to remember that this is holy ground. And we need to make application in our lives that shows that we attack the Bible study. Oh, man. I said something a while ago, but I was just joking. I didn't mean to do that. That we had to do one or the other, either my notes or the PowerPoint. Chuck, can you get this thing to work? Oh. Ask and you shall receive. Chuck, you did good. Okay, that's not what I'm wanting to be, but anyway, that's all right. It will come up later. We should approach our Bible study obediently, with a willingness and a desire that we're going to let the Scripture be our guide. All of our preconceived ideas, we have to erase those to the best of our ability out of our mind and really meditate upon what God is saying to us. The Holy Scripture is written to me. And we've got to have the idea that is who God was speaking to when we read it. Even though He may have spoken to Moses, He might have spoken to Abraham or any of the other holy men of the Bible. But yet those things that are there are written so that we might understand more perfectly what God wants us to do. So it's important for us to read, what did He tell Moses? What did He tell Abraham? What did He tell Isaac and Jacob? Because it's applicable to us. And we need to look at all of it and with an obedient heart. We have to look at it in love, recognizing that God loved us so much that His plan is one that is foolproof if you follow it. There's nothing can harm us if God is for us. Who can stand against us when God is for us? Nobody. In Romans chapter 8, there's a whole list of things there it talks about. The final thing it says there is, there's not anything that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we need to look, and we need to recognize that these things are written because of the great love that God has for us. We should study God's Word because we want to be like Jesus. We talked just a few minutes ago about what God said there at the Mount of Transfiguration. God was pleased with Jesus. Should we not want to follow His example? Should we not want to truly be Christ-like? Shouldn't we want to be Christians? To wear His name, to be His hands, to be His feet, to be His mouthpiece here upon this earth? It's important for us to look and realize and ask ourselves the question, am I doing those things where God can say, I'm well pleased? We need to look at this. We talked this last quarter about Jesus, the master teacher. Shouldn't we want to listen to the master teacher? To listen to those words that are God-breathed? We need to develop a spirit and attitude that we truly want to be like the Lord. Paul, in talking to Timothy, says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The King James Version talks about study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we look at this, and we see that we have to be diligent. What does that word mean? Does it mean haphazard? Does it mean nonchalantly? Purposefully. A purpose in our heart that would say, I want to be like Christ. I want to do those things that please the Father. Our whole focus is centered upon that. And when I say our whole focus, that's exactly what I mean. Now, we go to work, or at least some of us used to go to work, and we have a job to do. But we do that job according to those things that God has commanded us in our Christian walk. We concentrate, we meditate upon doing things that are Christ-like. How would Christ do it? That's the way we want to do it, or should be certainly the way that we want to do it as we live our lives here upon this earth. In order to have a successful Bible study, one must have an action plan and adjust it from time to time in order to improve and grow. We must set goals and then plan to achieve those goals. Do we ever think about doing this as far as our Bible study is concerned? You know, I was a teacher, and it was important that I have a plan of action for every day that I taught. Now, that action plan sometimes didn't go exactly as I had intended it to go. A question may have come up by one of the students that needed to be addressed because they were ready to learn that fact, and you take advantage of those opportunities. Have to be careful that you don't let them get you off on last night's ball game or whatever, but there are moments that are open to you to instruct your students. And it was my responsibility to do that. In order to do that, I had to have a plan of action, and I had to have an action plan that could be modified as I went along, as I saw the need to modify it. And I think that as I thought about this lesson, naturally I went back to the field of education. But then I got to thinking about people who worked in space industry. Think they don't need an action plan for the job that they're trying to do? You know, and we saw, and I don't remember which one it was, where they had the difficulty with the space module and getting the astronauts back to Earth, and Houston had to make a plan kind of as they went. But that plan was based upon knowledge of what needed to be done to get those men back. And they did so successfully. But that's the modification. Sometimes we go along and particularly as an administrator, I had an action plan every day I went to school. But there were times that I never worked that plan because there were things that came up that didn't allow me to. I didn't get on that until after 4 o'clock when the kids were all gone. And then I started working some of those things I'd planned to do. But in Bible study, it's important that we have a plan of action of how we're going to approach that Bible study. And so we look at this, and it's awfully important that we think on our plan. 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. And we look at this scripture, and again, we see words such as meditate, to think on these things. What things? Those things that God has told us through his word. And we need to constantly think about those things. David in his psalm says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Everything that we do should be done based upon those things that God has commanded us to do as far as our life is concerned. In other words, set the righteous example. Do those things that God has written for our learning. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all, that we can, by our example, lead others to the glory of Christ and the hope we have of eternal salvation. That's what the scripture is about. To give us the knowledge that we need in order to carry out God's plan here upon this earth. That your progress may be seen to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. Again, it's not just about us. We have to take God's word and share it with those that we come in contact, all of those that we come in contact. And we need to constantly, as a Christian, be doing that. You need a quiet place in order to study most successfully, where you can sit down, read, and study your Bible. It would be great if you have a desk where you could spread your study materials out, where you can reach everything that you have there. And again, the best in my life anyway, the best way for me to study is to study by myself. Now, can I learn by sitting in a Bible class? Absolutely. But the in-depth study comes when we are by ourselves meditating in a study of God's Word. Okay. That's not where I wanted to be. Seems like my list of things, the PowerPoint didn't pick up. What kind of tools do you need in order to accomplish your Bible study? And these are some things that I thought up. Is it all inclusive? Absolutely not. First of all, you need your favorite Bible. And I'm sure all of you have your favorite Bible, the ones you pick up when you really want to study God's Word. The Bible that you know that this certain verse is in the left-hand page, in the right-hand column, about halfway down the page, is where a particular verse is found. Because, you know, that's just where it is, in that Bible. And so, you have a favorite Bible that you turn to. Maybe it has all the references and the maps and so forth, but you have your favorite Bible, one that you're most comfortable with. A study Bible is helpful. A Bible that has the cross references and perhaps even some thoughts that the writers have put in there to explain a verse. It's helpful. But always remember, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. The thoughts of man are just that. Other versions of the Bible is always also helpful. What does the NIV say? What does the American Standard Version say? What does the Old King James say? What does the New King James say? How do they word this verse? It can help lead to better understanding. A Bible dictionary. In order, you know, used to, I would ask, raise my hand and ask, what does that word mean? And the teacher's reply would be, look it up in the dictionary. Because you doing it and you reading it has more of a long-lasting effect than someone telling you it. You do it yourself, you get more benefit out of it. Bible dictionary is good. A Bible concordance, a book that would give you all the scripture about this particular topic or this particular word that's found throughout the scriptures. A Bible atlas that would help you see where the event took place, the particular study took place. You know, in our world today, the names of places that were in the Bible, you know, have the countries have been changed. The names have changed, but you can get locations, and you know that this is a site where this particular biblical event happened with a Bible atlas, and they're helpful. Bible commentaries. There's all kinds of people who've written commentaries on the Bible. And again, I'm going to say this about three or four times. Bible commentaries are written by men. And so make sure that you recognize that you go back to the Bible and you see what does the Word say in addition to what do the commentaries say. There are lots of times I read the commentary and I don't agree with it. Now, is it my fault? Do I have preconceived ideas? Go to the Bible. See what the Bible says. And try to go from there. ask questions from learned men in your congregation. A relatively new device is the computer. A wealth of information there. You can get just about anything that you want to find out through the computer. Encyclopedia is more of an old tool, but it still is something useful. And anytime that you are really studying the Bible, take notes. Have your notebook that's just for a Bible study notebook, where you write down your thoughts, your questions, that you can go back to later on and look up in the Bible, see if you can find an answer to those questions. But take notes. It's good also for storing in your memory when you look up that dictionary word that you didn't know what it meant, that you write it down and you study it so that you know what you are to do with it. And again, make sure you remember the Bible is God's inspired word. All of these are nice and helpful, but always remember that the only thing that is God-inspired word is the Bible. Who were the Bereans? Paul talks about the Bereans, and he says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And it was because they searched the scriptures daily to make sure the things that they were being told are true. Don't believe what I say. You look it up and you make sure that those things that I'm teaching are from God's Word. If they aren't, the first thing I want you to do is come and tell me, because I want to do what God tells me to do. Then we can all point it out to everybody else, hey, I was wrong. And we need to look at it and make sure that we are Bereans in heart, that we search the Scriptures to make sure those things that we have been taught are so. Begin your study with prayer and seek to clear your mind of all other issues so you can focus on what God has to say. A-S spells has. With a positive, prayerful, and humble mind, you are ready to begin the greatest journey of life. Do we really, when we initially start to study and learn from our Bible, that we think of it as the greatest journey of life? I don't know about you, but that's something I had to grow into. And I'm still growing. Because the Bible is written in such a way that regardless of where we are in our Christian journey, there's still food there. There's still things to be learned. And we need to make sure that we are following God's plan for us. It is the greatest journey that we can ever take. Select a biblical topic for your study, a book, a passage, something relatively short for the first study. Why would we do that? Why would we seek out a short topic for our first Bible study? Okay. Do any of you ever listen to any of you ever listen to Dave Ramsey? You remember what Dave Ramsey said? You know, that you pay off your least debt first so you can be motivated, inspired by having done so? He got that from the Bible. He got that from the Bible because, you know, if in our Bible study, if we seek something small and we, man, that was good, we're inspired to go on to more. And we need to recognize that the Bible is written in such a way that you read something, wow, I never thought about it. I never saw that in that verse before. And it's because you are truly meditating. A thought maybe has been presented that makes you make application of what that verse is saying. But that's the more food that you can get from constantly studying your Bible. And so it's important that we look and select a topic for the first time that's relatively short so that you can be inspired to do more. Have a positive attitude toward your study. Do you ever think about God as a positive being? He has a positive outlook for man. He's positive in those that he deals with on a daily basis. I think we look at God and how many times does he give us opportunity after opportunity? You know, I don't know. I dare say that the vast majority of Christian people have not really did an in-depth study of the Bible. There are those who have, and we learn from them. But sometimes we get to our point in our lives that we think Bible study is that's what the elders and the preachers and the deacons, the Bible teachers in class are supposed to do. And we don't study as we ought. And so God gives us encouragement throughout his word, and he's positive in his attitude toward us. And he gives us opportunity after opportunity to improve. This is God's word. It's not what you have been taught or always believed, not what your parents, your spouse, or best friend told you, but the fact that God is talking to you through his word. God has the best plan for man, but man has to accept the fact that God knows best. And we look at what is written here. And sometimes we get hung up on what we've always been taught, what we've always believed. And it's hard for us to say, my parents were wrong. My spouse was wrong. I am wrong. But if you go to an in-depth study of the Bible, you're going to find those things out. And so it has to be a study that is in-depth and one that we truly put ourselves, our best efforts into. We look back at our lives and oftentimes, I don't know, I'll use a phrase here, we kind of play at religion, not serious about it. That pretty much typified my life up until the time that I met my wife. And Mary got me on the straight and narrow. Mary's family got me on the straight and narrow. Am I always walking that straight path? No. I still stumble. I still fall. I still take a wrong road sometimes. But God's word can get me back on that right road and going the right way. God does know best. Just like the old TV, Father Knows Best. Any of you old enough to remember that one? Our Heavenly Father knows best. And His plan is written in such a way that we can know what to do. Always, again, when you come to the point when you run upon a problem, you don't know exactly the answer to what you're looking for. You know, use your study tools, look up words, ask questions. All these types of things are things that you can do to enable you to have a better Bible study. Read the passage you have chosen. Also read any passage reference that would give more information or evidence where God spoke in times past by about the topic. Don't forget to check other versions of the Bible to see how they read. Write down your notes, observations that you have made from the topics, thoughts that really jump out at you, things that challenge what you thought the Bible said, or passages that verified what you believe God's words said. Be careful not to simply pick out one verse, but read the entire thought, which may be a whole chapter, and make sure you're reading those verses before, those words after, to get the complete meaning of a particular passage. Learn the original message. Identify culture and judgmental issues. Search for elements, or search for eternal message, and seek true application. Write in your note what this means to your life. What it is saying to me today. Meditate on these thoughts and pray. Accept the truth that God wishes for you to have. Look for the truth. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except by the Father." God's plan is one that we must follow, and that's the one that we must take to heart. Next week, we're going to look at hindrances to Bible study and attitudes toward Bible study. Thank you for your attention.